Hey, Anus. They had that, that single, that real shitty single they wanted me to push during my publicist days.
Booty Time.
Yeah, Booty Time with that lead singer, the white Van McCoy lookalike with the 6-inch platform shoes, you know? He looked like,
Like me.
Yeah, I was gonna say it looked like shit, but he looked like you.
Booty Time, Booty Time, across the USA. Booty Time, Booty Time. Hey, 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 booty time, booty time, across the USA. It's booty time, booty time, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Unbelievable. I didn't think anything could cheer me up tonight, Lieutenant, but that brilliant performance. Jerk off.
Booty time.
This podcast may contain horse language. Listener discretion is advised. Booty time indeed. Like always, I'm Misty Darling, and you are tuning into the pod that rocks your bod, Flixmax. This week, the boys get wild and talk animals, gush about the many dates they have been on with each other lately, and also some other stuff I've already forgotten. So relax, sit back, and take off your pants and jacket. Now comes the thrill ride you've grown to expect. Here are your hosts, Scott and Terrence.
Oh, sugar, sugar.
Oh, hello, bonjour, and comment ça va? Welcome to the pod that rocks your bod. This is Flixmax. I don't know what I just said in French. It's the only thing I know. How are you doing?
That's basically what you said. You said, hello, and how are you?
Excellent.
Yes. And it's very apropos that you're using French on the day of the American Independence.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Let's not talk about America, though.
Okay. No, we will not. Not tonight. This is our show, and we just celebrated.
Right.
We're still in the glow of Canada's birthday, so we will keep it there.
Much younger than every other country in the world.
Yes. So, this is, as you said, this is Flixmax.
A very hearty people.
Yes.
So yes, and this is Flixmax, and this is season 5, episode 8, I believe.
Yes, you are. No, I guess it is.
I am. What?
I stated a line before you actually said yours, because I was expecting you to introduce yourself, and then I was going to say, yes, you are. Like, you're going to say, I am Terrence, and I was going to say, yes, you are. But I said, yes, you are, to the episode season reveal.
Since Scott just introduced me, just introduced myself. Mm-hmm. Scott, why don't you introduce yourself, Scott?
Okay, this is Scott, and I was introduced by Terrence, who is over here, who I can see, but you can't, but really, he's over here through my screen and not beside me. He's in front of me without being in front of me.
That's right.
Yes.
We could release episodes onto YouTube, but I don't think anybody would really watch because they hate us.
Unless we decided to do naked. Naked podcasts. Is that a thing? Naked podcasts?
Might be a thing in some circles.
But we would probably lose all of our viewership, all of our listenership, seeing as how they're my family.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and a couple of my friends.
Yeah.
So what's the happening? What's going on?
I don't know. But why don't you drop a hint of what our theme will be before we
It involves animals. It involves attacks, and it involves film.
Oh, shit. Are people going to be able to deduce with that information what are
we'll just have to wait and see. They'll just have to guess now and then see if they're right in 20 minutes or so.
So
we haven't recorded in, 3 weeks or something?
Probably, yes. I think so.
So we've actually done quite a few cool things.
We've had some haps. Yes. So
should we do the challenge and then talk about the haps, or the haps then the challenge?
Let's do the challenge, and then we can use to talk about the Haps before we move into the theme. So,
right on.
Right on, right
do
on.
Want, do you want to do your challenge first?
Sure, why not? As you all know, because all of you are continual listeners and listen to all these episodes in sequence, I am having an ongoing challenge of watching movies in alphabetical order, watching new things I haven't seen or ones I haven't seen in 30 plus years or 25 plus years. Last we left off, I needed to start a movie starting with the letter R. Was where I was, and I have now completed the alphabet. Uh-oh. I watched R through Z. So I watched Ricky, the story of Ricky O, or Ricky O, the story of Ricky. It is a very violent martial arts movie. I watched a movie called Sputnik, the Russian sci-fi horror. That was actually pretty good. I watched Teen Witch, because I did, because it's a How Did This Get Made title. I watched a movie called The Untold Story, which is a Taiwanese true story about a massacre.
Taiwan?
It's not in Taiwan. I think it was like in... might have started in China, then moved to like Macau, that kind of thing. But yeah, it's based on a true story, and it is quite disturbing and quite violent. It is on Shudder, if you're interested, called The Untold Story. Then I watched Voyage of the Rock Aliens, another How Did This Get Made title. What? Crazy, crazy movie. That's just basically just music videos after music videos. It's very much a musical, and it's very silly, very creative. And Jermaine Jackson is in it, so that makes it cool. She's just in the opening scene, and that's about it. Then I watched a sequel entitled Wormwood Apocalypse. This is an Australian zombie-type movie. It's kind of a Walking Dead.
Isn't it a sequel?
Yeah, that's a sequel to Wormwood. It's kind of like a Walking Dead meets Mad Max-type movie. It wasn't bad. I preferred the original. Then I watched a documentary called XTC, This Is Pop. That's about the band, new wave, post-punk band.
The Ballad XTC. Of Peter Pumpkinhead?
Yes. Quite a good documentary. Then I watched a Macedonian language horror movie entitled You Won't Be Alone.
On Shudder or something.
Yeah, it's a period piece, very similar to kind of like The Witch, because it's about witches and it's about a witch who's trying to live as a human and see what it's like to be a human, and so she keeps transforming herself into other beings and living as them until an accident happens when she accidentally kills something and then she has to jump into another body. Naomi Rapace has a small part in it. That's probably about the only recognizable name for us, but that was actually pretty good. And then I ended up with the Sean Connery John Borman classic Zardoz.
Yeah, of course.
That movie is fucked. But yeah,
I saw that a long time ago.
Yeah, nothing like Sean Connery wandering around in a red diaper and red bandoliers and nothing else. So
it's a documentary.
Yes. And he has a long ponytail. Yeah. And he's the only man at the time in existence who can get a hard on. So
is that what the deal is?
Yeah, that's part of it. Yes. He's very virile. He's the man's man. And so they aren't, they've created eternal life because they can't repopulate because, men can't get it up to impregnate women, and so he's like a big discovery because he can get his wiener hard. So yes.
Yum yum.
So what was your challenge? I don't remember. It's been so long.
My challenge was to see Jurassic World Dominion, right? Is it called?
Yes.
And I completed my challenge, mm-hmm. and it is not a good movie.
No.
It's easily, in my opinion anyways, the worst of the whole saga.
Of 6 parts?
All 6 parts.
Like even worse than Fallen Kingdom and Jurassic Park 3?
Yes. The dialogue is terrible. The writing is terrible. The acting sucks. Even the dinosaurs are uninteresting.
Even them being in real world environments.
That's the thing, though. There's hardly any of it that takes place in the real world.
So they tease that again as a thing, and then they don't actually do it.
Like the first part of the movie, sure, there's dinosaurs in the wild.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. But then they just go to like this scientific company's reserve in Italy, and it happens on their bunker or whatever. I love Chris Pratt, but thank God he's got Star-Lord to sink his teeth into, because this
mm-hmm.
Owen whatever character is
Owen
that
Owen Grady or Owen Brady,
yeah,
Owen,
whatever, Owen something like
that. Tom Brady,
and just like phoned in writing and story. Like, it's great that they brought back
the original guys.
The original guys. Mm-hmm. Goldblum is good, but not in it enough. He's kind of in it for 5 minutes, then disappears for the whole movie until the end.
Does he get shirtless?
No. No.
There's no beefcake shot of Goldblum.
Like, I can't fault Goldblum for this movie being so shitty. And even like Jurassic Park 3, fucking Tia Leone just screaming for 2 hours.
Yes.
But the dinosaurs are still interesting. Like the dinosaurs are still cool. In this one, it's like, I don't care if I'm spoiling this for anyone. Yeah. I don't give a shit.
No, it's fine. No. Could be a service.
This evil, I don't know what she is. She's like an evil arms dealer in Europe, and she's trained these 3 or 4 raptors to kill when she shines a red pointer beam at a target.
Okay.
And it's like, come on, man. Like, so what you're totally like whatever you've built up with this Owen character, being able to like train a raptor and communicate with them. You're totally pissing all over that by making this chick turn raptors evil.
Yeah.
Like it's just kind of, it's bad from top to bottom. Like the only cool thing in it is giant locusts. That's the only cool thing.
Yeah. I mean, I'll watch it, but I'm in no hurry to watch it. Just to say I've seen it. So.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah.
Don't waste your money in the theater.
Yeah.
Unless Nate wants to go to Canyon Meadows or whatever.
Yeah, it's if we go, but he still has to watch all the other ones. In his mind, he needs to watch all the other ones first. So, unless he should not, and then he can watch this and see how what he like thinks of it, and then watch the other ones to see so he can compare. So he's not left with a sour taste at the end of the franchise. He can watch some things and like, oh, they used to be good.
Yeah, that's. And they've set it up for another one. So
really?
Who knows?
Yeah.
But yeah. Oh, yeah.
But this is supposed to be the last one.
Is that right?
Is it going to be? Yeah, that's what they said. Is it Jurassic Universe? Like they're going to go into space?
It's Jurassic. Yeah, Jurassic Galaxy.
Jurassic Galaxy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Going to space dinosaurs? Now, I would see space dinosaurs. I don't care. I would go see space dinosaurs.
Now, this is what they should do. They should make this one way in the future. Okay. And dinosaurs are actually the intelligent life on Earth.
Oh, right.
And it's humans. They have a park of wild humans.
Oh, yeah.
That the dinosaurs go view, right?
And then the humans go all feral and start attacking the dinosaurs. Yeah.
But it's not like the dinosaurs are intelligent, but they're still like the dominant species. So
right.
Basically, now, the humans lose.
Do they have intelligence as in being able to speak, or they're just?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Very intelligent European accents.
Okay, well, of course, I would assume so. Yes.
So yeah, that's it. Jurassic World Dominion. 4 thumbs down.
Okay. Now, if you were to compare it to another movie with the word Dominion in the title, Exorcist Dominion, which one's better?
Honestly?
Yeah.
Which cut of Dominion are we talking about?
Well, there's Dominion and then there's something else. I can't remember which one. Yeah.
Oh, I'd rather watch Exorcist again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, then.
At least Stellan Skarsgård's in it.
Well, he's in both of them, isn't he? Because, yeah, it's
Exorcist. Well, it's basically two different cuts, right?
Yeah, it's Exorcist the beginning, and then, then just Dominion. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, I guess we'll reveal our new challenges. So, for me, I'm going to do something a little different and something that I have not done before, and I am going to watch a Bollywood movie. There is a action film that's come out this year from Bollywood that's getting rave reviews, titled RRR, or as they've translated for English, Rise, Roar, Revolt. It is over 3 hours long. It is currently on Netflix, and I'm going to check that out. I don't think I've ever watched a Bollywood movie. I've watched movies certainly set in India, but not ones that are made there. So,
all right,
I will do that.
So my new challenge is going to be, I am going to watch 3 summer blockbusters that I have never seen.
Okay.
So now, I don't have anything in mind.
Now, are they ones that are, if you went to the theater now to see something, like if we saw Thor this weekend, would that count as a summer blockbuster? Or we don't know if it's a blockbuster yet because it hasn't earned any money. Or are you doing blockbusters from the past that you haven't
seen? I'm going to go back in time.
Oh, okay.
So past blockbusters that I've never seen.
Okay.
Past, because it's summer now. Summertime.
Yes. Past movies that were available at Blockbusters. That's what you're doing.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
So, it's time to talk about the Haps. So, we had a couple excursions to the theater.
So let's go in chronological order. First, we went and saw a screening of the original 1987 RoboCop. Which
Director's
still,
cut.
In my opinion, holds up to this day.
Yes.
Still ultra violent, still funny as shit. A lot shorter than I remember it being.
Mm.
Like, I always thought that was, like, when I was a kid, the longest movie.
Flies by now, still good special effects, just...
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how, like, Peter Weller didn't become a bigger star after that, because it's a great,
like, especially an action star, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's carved out a decent career, but, he could have been, like a big headlining actioner after that.
Yeah, he's a good character guy now.
Mm-hmm.
He appears in quite a few television series.
Yeah.
But, it's... Still a great movie, and for like $5, you can't go wrong.
Mm-hmm. Even though I own it in multiple formats and I've seen it multiple times, it was great to see it on the big screen, because I've never seen it on the big screen, so that's certainly worthy to do that. So, and as I stated after we finished the movie, there's a couple guys in the audience who thought that this was the funniest movie they had ever seen. Like the volume of their laughter, the frequency of their laughter, even at things that shouldn't be deemed funny, they just were killing themselves laughing. It was almost distracting.
I only really laughed at one part.
Mm.
And it's a part I always laugh at, when the chick's getting, you know, they're attempting an assault on that woman.
Right.
And RoboCop comes up and shoots the bad guy through her dress in the nuts.
Yeah.
And then walks up to her and says, let me contact a rape crisis center for you.
Yes. Yeah, she's all emotional and thankful and all that. And he's obviously robotic.
Just all a matter of a factly.
Yeah.
Like, I think the closest she got raped, it was by his bullet from his gun. That's probably the closest.
Yeah.
But rape is not funny. I don't condone it. Just the dialogue is funny.
You're taking that stance. You're going out on the limb and saying that rape is no good.
It's no joke.
Yes. Okay. So after that, well, about a weekend and a half after that or so, we went somewhere else. A little horror convention came to town, and we went and spent a Saturday there, and that was pretty good.
Yeah, the 10th anniversary, I think.
Yep.
Because the last two didn't happen. Mm-hmm. I think the last two got canceled. It wasn't quite as stunning an ensemble of horror icons as they usually get. Like, usually they can get some pretty, like, Linda Blair and some heavy hitters, mm-hmm. right? But this, I don't know, I go for the panels. Like, that's my favorite part. Like, everything that's there is basically commercial, and it's all crap you can buy.
Mm-hmm.
Get autographs, that, but I like listening to these actors talk.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the little short films that they have a room where they just show movies all day long. You come and go as you want.
Some short films and then a couple features, but mostly just
I think this year they only had four full length all mm-hmm. weekend.
Yeah,
but I guess you can send in your little horror movie and they'll screen it and maybe show it. So, but it was fun. I had a good time.
Yep.
And
we sat on we saw probably 3 panels.
Yeah, we saw
part of the producer, that producer guy.
I think he's Albertan, isn't he?
I think so. Might be Alberta based now, but no.
Yeah.
He was very interested about if you've made a movie or you're writing a movie, how to get it financed and get it released and all that kind of stuff. It was a pretty in-depth and informational if you want to go that route. So
yeah, he's pretty good. Pretty good speaker too.
Mm-hmm.
And then we saw a panel of Richard Brake and
Jeff Daniel Phillips.
Jeff Daniel Phillips, both.
Not Jeff Daniels.
Not Jeff Daniel Daniels. Phillips.
Yes.
Both Rob Zombie guys.
But Richard Brake has been in everything. Yeah. So.
Yeah, he's like he's one of those guys you don't know who he is, but you see him all over the place. Like he was one of the actors who played the Night King in Game of Thrones.
He was Joe Chill, responsible for the death of Bruce Wayne's parents in Batman Begins. But they're both entertaining guys. Both seem to be pretty good storytellers, but they almost seem kind of not necessarily reluctant, but they were just, some of them, you get up there, you tell them a story, you ask them a question, and they answer your question, and then they just keep going and going and going. These ones were just oh, here's the answer to your question, and okay, next question kind of thing. It was very
and they are both procedural. Trying to be kind of funny, right? Like they're yeah. both trying to be.
Mm-hmm.
But Joe Bob Briggs, man, you ask him a question, he gave you yeah. a 15 minute.
That's kind of what I was comparing it to, because yeah, he was a wreck on tour. Like he just went on. Like you give him a simple question and he would just paint a picture for you. And now he's, you know, he's, if people don't know, he's kind of like a male Elvira without having the goth kind of look. You know, he's a guy who reviews horror movies and, you know, that kind of stuff. And, yeah. you know, play on TV, and he does the intros for the movies and does commentary and stuff on the movies during the movies and stuff. So I've been doing
he's
it
on
for
Shudder.
Yeah. He's been doing it since probably the mid 80s.
Yeah. But yeah, no, show is called The Last Drive-In on Shudder. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just wrapped up their fourth season.
Yeah. I think it got renewed for another season or two just recently. So,
but yeah, he did it for a long time on, TBS, was it?
TNT or something like that, yeah.
Like he hosted their late night chiller feature.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, just like a male Elvira, but very knowledgeable. Like, and, you know, he had a lot of interesting stories.
Yes. If Elvira was a cowboy, that's what this guy is.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's going to be 70 years old soon, and he's yep. still doing
cranking them out. Yep.
His co-host Darcy the Mail Girl was supposed to come, but she had travel issues or something. So
apparently, her passport was stolen, as passports do get stolen. That's even true. even though you speculated there was some sort of conflict with some sort of wrestling event that you think yeah. that she might have wanted to go to instead.
Yeah, it was cool. It was a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And then what did we do after we left the con?
Well, I was going to say before that, what did you want to buy but then were unable to because you waited too long?
I've been thinking about it every day since. There's a scene in my favorite movie, The Shining, in which Wendy's wandering around the hotel like a fool, all panicked, and she's seeing things now, or I don't know if she's seeing things or if there's things that are actually there that she's actually seeing.
Like spirits but or whatever. Yeah.
She looks into one room and there is a man in a bear costume, possibly filleting. I think it's Delbert Grady.
Yeah. It's certainly a fancy man. Guy in a
the ghost caretaker.
Yes.
And they had one guy had that mask there.
Yeah.
The bear mask. Yeah. Bear or pig or
whatever.
I don't know. Could be many yeah. things. He had it for $40.
Mm-hmm.
And I hummed and hawed and I'm like, fuck, I'll come back later. Nobody's going to yeah. buy this thing. Like, shit. Who would want this in their house?
Yeah.
We came back. It was panels. Gone.
It was gone.
Came back. It was gone. But I did get that Mandy Chase. So
yep.
that's good.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Yeah. Then after that, we ventured off to the theater again, and we saw a new thriller horror that came out entitled The Black Phone. Another
yes.
Blumhouse feature.
Very cool. Very, I thought they caught the essence of the 70s very well.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think Blumhouse does a good job at that, the stuff he yeah. produces.
Mm-hmm.
With one of your favorites, Ethan Hawke, as the grabber.
Yes, as the grabber. However, I will not, you know, not to give anything away, but this will partially give things away. Know how I'm not really a fan of Ethan Hawke, but I'm okay. There are two scenarios in which I'm okay with watching an Ethan Hawke movie. And if you've listened to the podcast, you'll know what those two scenarios are. And then you might be able to take a guess as to which one this one was and why I'm okay with it. But yeah. Pardon me, I just had a nice air burp there. Kind of, I was just going to dismiss that. I'm like, oh right, I'm on air. I will admit though, I thought he was actually quite effective as a role. He was pretty creepy, and it might be like one of my favorite performances of him that I might actually tolerate that.
Yeah, it was very.
Because most of the time when he's acting, it's like he's playing a version of himself, and I don't really care for his personality in real life. But here it actually seemed like he was actually creating a character, and I think he actually did a good job.
Yeah, it was a very understated performance. Like, it wasn't an over-the-top serial murderer.
Or Pennywise type, villain.
And they didn't try to make him overly creepy. You know what I mean? But yeah, the good mix. Like, it's almost like a escape movie, like mystery. Yeah. The only real true horror elements was like the supernatural stuff.
Yeah. We're talking about it, I'm like, oh, it seems very similar to like a Stephen King, because he has a lot of telepathic and paranormal type stuff in his, but then I realized, oh right, it was written by his son. So that makes sense. So
yeah, what's his name? Joe Hill. Joe Hill, right.
Joe Hill.
But yeah, it was good.
Yeah, it's good.
No complaints.
Nope.
So yeah, that was our fun adventures for the last couple of weeks.
Those were the haps. So that is our new segment entitled The Haps, just in case you wanted to.
Oh, and I did see Elvis.
And you saw Elvis, yes. And then you left the building.
Two thumbs up. We'll talk about that after you see it.
Okay.
All right. Like, I don't want to give anything away, but we all know what happens to Elvis.
What? He's not alive anymore?
Well, some say he's living in Des Moines, Iowa, working at a 7-Eleven.
Okay. Or living in an old age home with a black JFK.
Are you referring to Bubba Hotep?
No, I think that's based on a true story. Oh my goodness, your turn.
It's a Diet 7-Up.
Oh, I have Pepsi Zero, the unofficial official beverage of Flixmax.
Oh,
yes.
Pod the Rocks Your Bod.
So now it's time for good times any for our Animal Attack themes favorites.
Mother Nature can be a real bitch sometimes. Humans may think they are at the top of the food chain, but these movies prove us wrong. From gators to bears, bunnies, and beavers, these cute critters have one thing in common. They have all attacked humans on the big screen. May I present to you the list? Our favorite films involving animals attacking people. And for the most part, we deserved it.
All right, so I guess I will start. I'm just going to get probably the most famous one out of the way, but I had to have it on my list. Jaws. I'm sure everybody's familiar with it.
Never heard of it. Don't know what it is.
It's almost a masterpiece, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's very human. It's very, like, a very humanistic movie, even though it's about a killer shark.
The first summer blockbuster.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
About a shark that terrorizes the beaches of Amity. Was it Amityville?
Amity, yep.
Amity, Long Island. Beach. Yeah. Rhode Island? Long Island? Rhode Island? One or the other.
Lonely Island?
Oh. So yeah, Jaws.
Jaws.
Quint.
And the other guys. And Hooper. And
Richard Dreyfuss.
And was it Brody? Sheriff Brody.
Brody. Yep.
Roy Scheider.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to try to move to a different creature. And this one is probably the oldest one on my list. And I'm going to go with a classic, The Birds. As obviously Alfred Hitchcock and some sort of weather anomaly affects the birds that make people attack.
Yep.
Humans. I remember seeing this as a kid and it scared the shit out of me. And part of the reason was, is that it's when I was seeing movies around that time, usually nothing ever happened to kids. And in this movie, that was not the case. The kids were being attacked and killed by the said birds. And I'm like, oh shit, they went there. And there was blood in it that I wasn't expecting. And there was like eyeballs that had been chewed out. But yeah, it's still pretty effective. You know, some of the birds, if you watch it now, some of the bird effects, if you want to call it that, are a little, hinky, but
Can we say janky?
Janky? Sure. But I enjoy it. It's a classic and deserves to be a classic. And yeah, it's just a good suspense animal attack movie.
I left it off my list because it was one of those obvious ones.
Right.
So
birds.
I kind of went your direction and tried to pick some
that we haven't spoken talked
weren't about. Obvious.
Right.
But I don't think we've ever talked about the birds before.
I don't think so. Even though the bird is the word.
Whoa.
The bird.
All right. So next for me is one that we saw together.
What?
In 2019 called Crawl.
Ah, yes.
There are a few alligator movies on my list, too.
They're mine as well. I got a couple.
This one, for me, how it affected me wasn't because of alligators. It was because of, like, the muck and filth that these people were swimming and crawling through.
Yeah, from the hurricane devastation.
Yeah, that shit just gives me the creeps.
And not only that, they're going through all this muck and grime and all that, but they're doing it with open wounds.
Yeah. So
like they're going to die from infection, not from, bleeding or anything like that.
Yeah, cringy. And yes. It's not super alligators or scientifically engineered alligators. It's just alligators that have become
that are aggressive or hungry.
Well, and they've been misplaced, or what do you call it? They've been displaced into people's homes and wherever the hurricane's taking them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this is good.
A lot of
broken bones and shit and just cringy stuff, like I said.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. I will again switch species and I'm going to go with a movie I saw on opening day back in 1990. And this is a little movie entitled Arachnophobia,
which is on my list. So we will talk about it together.
Yes. This was, I believe, a Frank Marshall directed movie and produced by Spielberg.
Yep.
Spielberg. Jeff Daniels is a new small town doctor coming from the city and people don't really trust him. And people start dying. All those new patients start dying because they've been bit by this spider that's, hijacked its way back from the Amazon and then bred with a local spider. And so everyone everyone thinks that he's just a shitty doctor because, all of his patients keep dying. But he, finds out that they all had spider bites and everyone thinks he's crying wolf or whatever. And then John Goodman appears as the exterminator.
Beautiful, beautiful John Goodman.
Yes. And then Julian Sands is the spider expert that comes in. This is one of those movies that still makes me cringe. Like when they spiders, I mean, I'm fine if there's a spider in the room. I'm not like, oh my God, get that spider. But in general, when you got a close up on the spiders, especially like the tarantula type, it's creepy and it's unnerving. And these are all trained spiders, or at least ones that have handlers. And
all real spiders too.
Yeah, there's not CGI, and it's just so effective, so creepy, and so well directed. But yeah, no, I saw this at the theater. So seeing that close up of the female spider on the big screen was a little haunting. But yeah, no, it's one movie that still bothers me. Just on that level of being spiders and whatnot. Because if it was CGI spiders, it probably wouldn't bother me. But because they were real, it kind of shook me to my core.
Well, I like how they worked in, like, without the characters even knowing it, how many close calls they had to getting bit.
Yeah.
Like, when the girl is in the shower and the spider lands on her face, but she doesn't notice because there's water too. Mm-hmm. And she gets very close to getting bit, but then the spider like falls off or whatever.
Yeah.
Or when they crush the one spider with the book without even knowing it.
Mm-hmm.
Just like all the close calls are cool.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, it's a good kind of a throwback, kind of almost to like the, attack movies from like the 50s or whatever without them having mutated insects, but it's a good small town type emergency disaster kind of thing. But yeah, no, it's a gooder.
John Gooderman. So next for me, I might as well get my second alligator movie out of the way, and that is, I'm sure this is probably on your list. The 1999 Betty White vehicle, Lake Placid.
It is not on my list.
No?
It is not.
This movie is so ridiculous.
Yes.
But it's funny. It's got some good tense moments. Writing really isn't all that shit hot, but you know, like Betty White is feeding this alligator whole cows
and swearing. Yeah.
She's protecting the menace. So yeah, it's kind of like, just kind of like Arachnophobia. It's like a Saturday matinee type deal.
Yeah. And thing is, the alligator's not really hurting anybody.
No, he's just eating.
And only people who go to the lake to look for the alligator are the ones who actually start getting hurt by the alligator. Because Betty White got it under control because she's been breeding and cows and, you know, feeding them to the alligator. So
who is it? Bill Pullman,
Oliver Platt, Brendan Gleeson, Bridget Fonda,
yeah, Lake Placid. And the funny thing is that it happens in upstate New York at Lake Placid.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't?
No, it doesn't.
I thought it did.
No, it doesn't. It's called Lake Placid, but it's actually not. It doesn't take place in Lake Placid.
Where the hell does it take place?
It's like in Maine or something like that. It doesn't actually take place in the Lake
Placid. Why do they call it Lake Placid?
I don't know. But no,
that's it's not stupid.
Yes, it is. It just adds to the
whole... But there's no alligators in Maine either, so...
No, there's not. But yeah, no, and it doesn't. But yeah.
I'm completely floored by this revelation.
Yeah, no, it's...
I don't understand.
No, it's not. It's not in there because they talk about Portland, Maine, and that kind of stuff. But yeah, no, it's in the New England somewhere. But yeah, no, it's not.
Might as well be called Lake Flaccid now.
Yes. Oh my goodness. All right. I'm going to switch species again. Go flip flop. And I'm going to go with a movie, I think from the mid 90s, probably 96, maybe 97, maybe earlier. The Ghost and the Darkness.
It's on my list.
Michael Douglas and Valiant Kilmer. It's a true story about two mad eating lions that have just terrorized this village in Africa. Mm-hmm. And these two big game hunters come to, you know, track and kill them and stuff like that. It's it's a pretty intense.
Yeah, it's like at a work camp where they're building a railroad, I think.
Something of that nature, yeah.
And these lions are just snatching guys in the night.
Yep.
A couple rogue lions. Yeah, it's a good movie.
Mm-hmm. Just recently had a Scream Factory release, so I might have to pick that up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I should watch it again. It's been a while.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that is my lion attack movie.
So my next one isn't really an animal attack movie per se, but it's probably got one of the best animal attacks scenes in it, which
I think I know where you're going with this one.
This is a little movie called The Revenant.
That's where I thought you were going.
Which was filmed here in Alberta.
Yep.
And Leonardo DiCaprio gets his ass whipped by a grizzly bear.
Yes.
Like, bad.
Handed to him.
And it looks real.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically a Western where he gets attacked by this bear, and that kind of sets him on this journey of revenge, not against the bear, but whoever killed his son, I believe it was.
Right.
It's pretty wild.
Yeah. Okay. Again, I'm just going to switch species again. And I'm going to go with a movie entitled Frozen, not the Disney version.
That's on my list too.
Oh, sweet. This is a survivalist movie.
Oh, yours isn't the Disney version?
No, it's not the Disney version. Oh, okay. No. It's a survivalist movie, or, you know, survival movie. The animal part is actually only a small part of it, or second half part, about Wolves. These friends. Yeah, about these friends who are going skiing, and they try to hop on and get one last run, and the ski place shuts down with them still on the ski lift, and they are dealing with the elements of, you know, frostbite and all that kind of stuff.
Hypothermia, yep.
And the only way that they can survive is if they try to jump off the ski lift and fear some sort of leg breakage. But there are also wolves running around underneath them. So they've got, you know, a kind of a dilemma that they're trying to deal with. And it's a pretty effective little thriller. Low budget. It's got some pretty good wolf carnage.
When I believe it's the first guy that jumps off. Mm-hmm. And I think this is where they discover that there's wolves.
Right.
And the two are left on on the gondola, or on the ski lift.
Yeah.
Watching these wolves just fucking tear the shit out of their friend. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's very effective. And like, you throw in the element of the cold and the isolation. It's a very effective movie.
Yeah.
Very, very underrated. I don't really understand how a ski village would kind of just shut down and leave
I can't remember. I think there was some sort of chain of events that happened. Yeah. Like somebody was supposed to tell somebody, but then something happened. Like it's kind of like a Home Alone thing where there's a bunch of different things that are set in place to make it logical that, you know, these people would be left on the chairlift.
Do you mean the Wet Bandits?
Yes, the Wet Bandits. But yeah, no. Yeah, it's good flick.
Good choice. Good choice. So next for me is a movie that I saw. We were over at my friend Blaze's. And it was on, I don't know what channel it was on. And we had no idea what it was called because we kind of missed the first few minutes or whatever. And it's from 1972 and it's called Night of the Lepus. I'm sure you're aware of it.
I'm afraid it's the rabbit one, isn't it?
The rabbits. So yeah. Basically, it's these overgrown rabbits that are human-sized, maybe a little bigger, whatever. And they're attacking people. And it's just like the cheesiest, campiest, like, monster movie. Like,
yeah.
And we couldn't figure out what this was called because we didn't have, like, I don't even remember. Like, it was on TV, but for some reason, like, we couldn't find what the movie
was
called.
You didn't have a TV guide?
No, this was, like, 1994.
No, I'm talking about like the publication, like the book that used to come in the mail.
Oh, I don't know. Blaze isn't going to subscribe to TV Guide. Come on. And you know what? We probably could have just went to Channel 2. Remember when it used to tell you?
Have the scroll. Yeah.
So me and my friend Paul went on a mission the next day to find this movie. And this predated IMDb.
Obviously, yeah.
Essentially we went to this used movie and music place downtown, and the guy who owned the place actually knew what it was called, and he said, "Oh, it's called Night of the Lepus."
Yeah.
And fuck, we just thought that was the funniest shit. So
was it Casablanca Video?
No, it was, I think it might have been the movie poster shop, to be honest. Not the movie poster shop, Vintage. Vintage, Heritage. Is it Heritage?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Anyways, it's on the southwest side, like 14th Street and 10th Ave or something. But yeah, we thought it was so ridiculous, these rabbits, right? And just to say Night of the Lepus was like it kind of took over our lives for a couple weeks. So it's more of like a memory thing as to why it's on my list. But like killer rabbits, like, come on, man.
Yes.
And it's literally it's just like shots of real rabbits jumping around superimposed over a green screen or whatever.
Aren't they like giant rabbits as well, kind of thing? Or are they just
Giant rabbits and
but
the effect is just regular rabbits superimposed to look bigger, right?
Like the Atomic movies where they had superimposed an ant or whatever to make it look like it was some giant thing. Yeah.
So it's not the greatest movie, but it's definitely entertaining.
Okay. Well, I'm going to stick with a rodent, but a different species. And I'm going to go with a remake entitled Willard. Now, obviously, Ben came out in the 70s, and then it had its own sequel, Willard. And this one, I think, was from 2003, this remake. That is from a couple of guys who did some X-Files episodes. And this has Crispin Glover. That's just, you know, Crispin Glover's the shit out of the role. As this guy who befriends some rats. And you got the late, great R. Lee Emery as his dad, who just belittles him at every moment. And
like he should.
Yes. And yeah, it's creepy. It's violent. I love that. I mean, it's not too many people like care for it, but I think it's great.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, no, that it's good. I mean, you don't need to see the other ones, seeing as how they didn't remake Ben, they only remade Willard.
And Willard is the guy, right?
Willard, I think, is the name of the rat.
Oh, I thought Ben was the name of the rat.
Well, that's a sequel. Let me just double check. I could be wrong. Let's double check. And of course the original one, Ben. Okay, yeah, it looks like it's the guy's name. Or at least in the sequel, it's the guy's name. Of course, the first one was Academy Award nominated. Like, Ben was Academy Award nominated.
For the song.
For the best song by Michael Jackson. Yes, yeah, okay, yeah, the character's Willard. But yeah, in both. But yeah, so, which is, it's a great song.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's lovely singing voice.
Wasn't nice? But yeah, no, so I have Willard on my list. I needed a rat movie, so I went with that rat movie. Even though I think I have another rat movie on my list too.
All right, sexy. So next for me is Piranha 3D from 2010.
Yes.
Balls out. This is, this is using 3D to many advantages.
Yes.
Just the most ridiculous scenarios, the most ridiculous deaths.
Yes.
And
it's if you could think of something in a movie that you can just add the word gratuitous.
Yes.
Gratuitous violence, gratuitous nudity, gratuitous insanity. That's what this movie is. Yeah.
Yep. And it's beautiful.
Yes. Great cast too. I mean, Elizabeth Shue, Adam Scott, Christopher Lloyd, mm-hmm. Richard Dreyfuss has the cameo at the beginning. Ving Rhames.
Yeah.
Paul Scheer, Jerry O'Connell. But yeah. And it has like a 5-minute underwater naked aria, like for no reason.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's crazy violent.
Is it Piranha 3DD? Is the sequel?
Yes, has
not off in it. Not quite not as the good.
No, no,
but it's still pretty. It's still violent. Got some batshit death scenes.
And yes,
dismemberments, you could say dismemberments.
Yes,
but it's a good time. I still watch the Blu-ray from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just entertaining.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to go on, and I'm not even going to really be able to talk about it because I mostly just remember the poster just and forever indulged in my mind, and I've seen it. It's entitled Phase 4. The poster is this hand, and there's like an ant burrowing into the hand. I remember seeing that. And yeah, this is about some scientists are in like some underground bunker and they're studying desert ants. And yeah, the ants are very feral and are trying to take over this whole underground bunker kind of thing.
And so what was phase 1, 2, and 3 then?
I don't know. This was just phase 4. So, but yeah, I just remember that poster and, that video VHS cover. I just remember it. And when I saw that it was available for sale, when just browsing the E1 site and it was a decent price, I picked it up when we worked there. So yeah,
nice.
I enjoyed it.
Phase 4.
Yes. And that's 4 with the Roman numeral 4.
Ah, okay.
IV, yes.
All right. So next for me is another one where it's not an animal attack movie, but there's a savage attack by animals. And that's the scene from The Omen, the original.
Right.
When the
Rottweilers?
Rottweilers attack, I believe. Is it at a cemetery?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's very raw, very real. And they're Satan's dogs, right? So
yes, they're hellhounds.
There's that advantage. So yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think I need to get into too much, but
okay. This other one is just another silly, just kind of B movie that's just ridiculous, that knows exactly what it is. It's campy, it's violent, it's funny, and that is Zombievers.
Yeah, I knew this. I was gonna put it on my list, but I knew you'd have it.
Yes, of course. This is about zombie beavers that attack people and then turn them into zombies. And yeah, it is as it sounds. It's ridiculous, it's overly violent. But it's practical effects, and it's just a good time. It's just you're not going there expecting a masterpiece. You hear Zombievers and you get exactly what you expect, and that makes it better. That it doesn't, you go in there with those expectations and you're not disappointed, because it's exactly as stated. So
Zombievers. So, this is my last one on my list.
Oh, shit.
It was not my number one, but since we both discussed some movies, it just happens that, and it's another one where it's basically just a couple scenes where the animal attacks. And this is a movie that I've never really talked about that much on the podcast, called The Witch. So for those who have seen it, you know about Black Phillip. You know, he's a goat that's been possessed by someone, maybe the devil. And he attacks a few of the family members of the on the farm, and he does a pretty good number on the dad.
Yeah, just a little bit.
And then he turns into what I presume is Satan or some sort of demon, and you know, that's how it ends.
Yeah.
So Black Phillip, the goat, the witch.
Okay. I've got a few more on my list, but I'll just talk in depth about one, and I'll just might rattle some off. This one is called, from 1979, entitled Prophecy. And it's not The Prophecy with Christopher Walken. It's Prophecy. And this is about a guy who's inspecting a logging, like a lumber mill type place, and it's pollution, and it has created a mutated grizzly bear that's wreaking havoc. And it is,
I know the one you speak of.
It is such a crude special effect. It is just crazy. It obviously it's supposed to be a bear. You can tell it's, but it just looks like a bear that's been melting. It's again, this is just 70s horror schlock, and it's super fun. I bought it without seeing it, because it was a Scream Factory, and I trust Scream Factory. If they're going to be putting something out, it's going to be of the quality that I enjoy. So I bought it for that purpose. I'll just rattle off some other ones quick. A couple, there's a a crocodile one and an alligator one. Crocodile one is Rogue. It's a set in Australia.
That's actually a really good movie.
That's pretty good. With Radha Mitchell. Yeah,
the alligator effects are really good.
Yeah, it's this is by. Go ahead.
They actually develop the characters. So, you know, you actually have some sympathy for these people that are being terrorized.
And this is from director Greg McLean, who also did The Wolf Creek and the Belko Experiment, which are both fine films. And my other one of that nature is one I spoke about a couple weeks ago entitled Alligator, which is from 1980, which is just about you know, alligator that's been eating growth hormones in the sewers of New York and just wreaks havoc. And that is awesome. Another one I spoke about not too long ago, another wolf one entitled The Gray with Liam Neeson.
Great Liam Neeson.
Yes. And another one is basically a Jaws ripoff, but with a killer whale entitled Orca with the late great Richard Harris.
What are you?
Another great shark one is Shark Night. It's again, it's just stupid fun.
But oh, that's guys, a 3D one, right?
Yeah, that's about the guys, these hillbillies who are breeding sharks and setting them out in a lake, like all different species of sharks, and then creating reality videos of the shark attack footage and putting it online. Great, great, just crazy premise, but executed exceptionally. And one that another shark movie that I would say would be similar to be good double feature with Frozen, and that's Open Water. About this true story, the scuba divers who go out, who the boat takes off, and they're just left in open water trying to survive this shark infested, and it doesn't really pan out too well for them.
No, not at all.
And of course, you can't have this without Snakes on a Plane, with his just B movie, Sam Jackson just chewing the scenery. You know, great famous line: "Get these motherfucking snakes off my motherfucking plane." It is exactly it. This one probably doesn't go as far as you would hope it would, but it's with just based on the name itself, it's worth watching. This one is about mutated insects from Guillermo del Toro. This is Mimic.
I was going to bring that one up. Yeah, it's basically like locusts bred with termites.
That's actually got really good effects and got really good cast. There's a segment of Creepshow that involves cockroaches where there's the like the germaphobe. Where he locks
himself in a panic room or whatever, right?
And gets his house gets infested with cockroaches, and he gets infested with cockroaches, and it's pretty crazy. There is another survival one with a bear called Backcountry, which is pretty good.
That's a more recent one.
Yep, that one's pretty good. You said when we could do this, you said real animals, so. Jurassic Park is on my list. Dinosaurs existed. I have another one entitled Frankenfish that came out in the early 2000s. That is just awesome. Like I was expecting nothing from it, and it was just so good. And this another genetically mutated fish that's like hybrid of a alligator fish kind of thing, and it's very cool.
Okay, what about Monkey Shines?
Monkey Shines was on my original list, as was another one with Elizabeth Shue entitled Link.
That was I remember like the poster for that one.
But speaking of that, I have the three Planet of the Ape prequels, Rise, Dawn, and War. Those are great. Even though I think they're in the wrong order, say they release Rise, then Dawn, then War. It should be Dawn because that's the beginning, and then Rise because they're coming to dominance, and then the War. So They mixed up the titles there. And then there's another one that stars somebody who we mentioned earlier, Peter Weller, called Of Unknown Origin. And this is a guy who is being driven insane by a rat that is in his house as he's renovating it. He is tears apart his house in order to try to find this rat that is eluding him. And it's pretty cool. So those are mine.
All right. So,
yeah.
Cool, man.
Cool.
Cool, so, man, dingo.
What? Cool, man, dingo. What? So what?
So I guess that brings us to our pick of the pod.
P-O-T-P.
Hey, everybody. Quiet down, please. These two jerks have an opinion. Here is this episode's pick of the pod.
Pick-o-pod.
Nailed it. You nailed it.
I nailed initials without looking.
So my pick of the pod is a... I guess it would be like a limited series, which airs on the AMC network, AMC Plus, called Dark Winds.
Okay, I've heard of that one.
It stars, I always forget his name here.
Zach somebody or something like that, I think.
Where is it here? Zahn McClarnon.
Zahn, yeah.
Right. And he's in a lot of stuff. He's in Doctor Sleep. He's in The Purge.
He's in Fargo Season 2, I think.
He's in Fargo Season 2. He's in a show called Res Dogs, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in Westworld, Longmire.
New Mutants.
He's a very great actor. Good Native American actor.
And just a strong presence on screen. Very, very captivating. Yeah.
Noah Emmerich's in it.
Rainn Wilson is in it, isn't it?
Rainn Wilson is in it. And it's basically, it takes place in the 70s. It doesn't really... and there's a bank, like an armored truck heist, and it ties in with these murders on the reservation. And, so basically, two reservation police officers, dig into this investigation and, it's like I watched three episodes straight, the first three episodes last night. And it's excellent.
I've been thinking about checking that out. So
yeah, it's very understated, very goes into a lot of Native traditions. And it happens in like the Southwest, so like New Mexico.
Right.
That's a good show. So yeah, you should check it out. If you're thinking about it, you should just do it.
I will. Mine is, I left this blank for a long time because I've been watching so much stuff lately. Finishing off my alphabet, and I've been rewatching The West Wing. Love that show. But I watched this one. I watched this last night with Nate. And it's the new Chippendale Rescue Rangers that's on Disney Plus.
Dear God.
It is highly entertaining. It's extremely meta, and it's like an animation crossover, such as like Roger Rabbit. Like, it's set in human world where humans and cartoons live, synonymously, like Roger Rabbit, except it's not Toontown. Like, it's, they live together, and like Chip and Dale are actors and they're playing themselves and they talk about near the time on Rescue Rangers and whatnot. And Dale has had CGI enhancement, so he's more of a 3D type animation, and you know, Chip is just the standard, you know, cell animated character. Dale is voiced by Andy Samberg, and Chip is John Mulaney. It's very funny. They use their own voices. Yeah, there's so many inside jokes, and it's about this one guy who is stealing older cartoon characters and just changing them slightly so he can make bootleg movies with these characters. It's quite funny, and like, you know, Roger Rabbit is in it, and yeah, they pull from so many things. Like, it's not necessarily all Disney. They pull from like Warner Brothers, and they pull from Paramount, and they pull from everywhere. Like, there's a, they show like a knockoff like Rick and Morty type thing, and there's different, there's some, they go to a con and somebody's dressed like Pickle Rick, and there's, they go to a con and Paul Rudd is there signing autographs. He's Paul Rudd, and he's saying the original premise for Ant-Man was him being playing a character called Ant-Man, where he's just a really charismatic guy and ants just love him. It's very funny. But, and then there's another scene like, and they talk all these different modes, different types, styles of animation are all blended together. Like the Polar Express type CGI, they make fun of that, like these characters that just have dead eyes. Like Seth Rogen voices a character like that. And then there's a scene where three other characters pop up. So one would be DreamWorks. I think two would be DreamWorks and then something else, but, and Disney. They're all characters that are voiced by Seth Rogen, and he does, obviously does all the voices. Like, he has the Praying Mantis from Kung Fu Panda, and he has Pumbaa from the updated Lion King, and then that one-eyed Cyclop character, Bob, from Aliens versus, or Monsters versus Aliens. And it's a very, very clever script, and it's directed by, you know, Andy Samberg's partner, Kiva Schaefer. So it's kind of like a Lonely Island production, but it's way better than I was expecting. It's very smart. J.K. Simmons does a voice. So, I mean, it's got a pretty much an all-star voice cast. And yeah, it's a really, really good movie.
All right, I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, it's extremely, extremely clever. And yeah, a lot of like inside jokes and stuff. But yeah, it's good. Hmm. So
I guess early Oscar candidate.
Yes. Or? Yes, definitely. Right. Yeah. So it's time for me to reveal our next theme. And so for episode 9 of season 5, I have chosen the theme of whodunits.
Whodunits.
Our favorite whodunits.
All right.
Did you do it? Was it you?
What?
Did you do it? Did you do it?
Who did it?
Who did it?
Who did it?
Who? Who?
All right. Whodunits.
I don't know. Who did it?
All right.
So, yeah. I think anything else is on your mind you want to talk about, or?
No, I think we've kept the people for long enough.
Yeah. Yes. We got in a lot of information, and this actually is shorter than I thought it would be. I thought we'd be kicking around an hour and a half, but we're only around an hour and 15 right now. So,
well, that is good. Look at us being efficient.
Yes, we are. So, so I guess if that's, we got nothing else, this is Scott signing off for Flixmax.
And this is Terrence signing off for the pod that rocks your bod, Flixmax.
Continually, yes. So, yeah, until next time, toodles.